My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Grounded to short. Dansby to first. There it is. No hitter.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I think she was just curious about the profession. And I don't think any of the outlines, none of the plays have gotten to Coach Reed yet. But if they ever do, I'll make sure everyone knows it was her creation.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Anybody that really knows me is that I'd trade a third of whatever percent you want to call of what the Cowboys are supposed to be worth to get us to get one of those Super Bowls.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in Rip City. Good morning. How we doing? Sorry, I got thrown off there.
What is happening?
Got thrown off for a second.
Easily distracted this morning.
Easily distracted.
Yeah. Eyes ahead. Eyes over here.
I blanked out for a second there.
We're doing a show. What's happening? It's a Thursday. We're live on the
air.
What
day is it?
It is Thursday.
Watching the traffic report. Is there a big accident or a bridge closure?
Just keeping an eye on the news. Yeah, it is Thursday, September 5th, according to my phone. We're not wrong on the date.
I did see a bunch of alerts I got last night that several schools east side of Clackamas County will be getting out early today because their air conditioning systems are not adequate for 100 degrees.
That sounds about right.
Now, hold on. I don't know if I knew about this.
Yes,
I'm a parent in this description.
I think your school might fall into this category.
Estacada School District.
Yeah, heat-related information.
Colton School District.
Get them out of there,
man. I've been the one designated. So I believe one person associated with each station in the building gets the emergency flash traffic. So road closures, school closures, all that stuff. And I was designated as that person.
We have a normal day today.
Normal day, not an early release day.
Yeah, a lot of
your air conditioning works.
Elementary schools being done at lunchtime.
Well, I don't mean to sound hoity-toity, but my kids' school is in Happy Valley.
They got new schools. This to me, Estacada makes sense. I see that. A lot of Portland schools, let's be honest.
Northeast Portland. Shout out my roots.
We're trying to rebuild those schools one at a time. It's going to take us about 75 years to get there.
Whatever.
Let's check the pipes in the AC in those old buildings. How about that? We'll just go from there.
Right. What's Madison called now? The one out on 82nd?
New Madison.
The new Madison.
I forgot who they named that one after.
I can't remember.
I don't remember.
It's gorgeous. I was playing Rose City Golf Course. It's right next to Rose City Golf Course. So you get over there on the back nine.
Their football stadium
butts up against the
renovation
fields.
Was quite nice.
McDaniel High School.
It's been completely redone and it's quite nice.
My alma mater is coming up soon. I think they're going to rebuild Cleveland at some point in the next handful of years.
They're doing one.
Good luck with that.
How are you going to do that in that area?
Good luck with that. It's like four city blocks.
Five of the eight have been completely redone. Slowly,
and then they send the kids to Marshall for a year while they rebuild, or 2 years, however long it takes, which that would totally suck. Like, to be in high school and not be able to go to your actual high school,
especially
and you're in a different high school.
Especially if
you're
senior year.
Senior year would suck. Yeah. Now, I think they do paint the school, like, every year they redo it and paint it your school colors, so it at least kind of feels like your school, but not quite the same. I don't know how you're going to rebuild Cleveland. There's not a lot of room to move over there.
So that's what they do at Marshall now?
So they do.
It's no longer a school. They just use it as like a hub for...
It's the hub.
Oh.
And they put, you play your athletic events there, football games, all that stuff goes on there. So it's just it's an empty school, and then it's filled up with kids for 2 years while they rebuild the other school, and then they start the next one and bring... I think Lincoln was the last one they just finished, if I'm not wrong.
Lincoln's been redone.
Lincoln,
I know,
is
Franklin
beautiful.
Was redone Franklin, a few years ago.
Yeah, Franklin's been redone. McDaniel's been redone.
But it's not
Grant.
Franklin anymore, right?
No.
I don't know what they call that one.
They're the Thunder.
No, it's still Franklin. They just are not the Quakers
anymore. They're not the
Quakers. That's right. They're like the Thunder.
They're the Lightning.
Or
the Franklin Lightning.
Is that what it is?
A little hot PIL talk right out of the gate. My mom brought over yesterday. She's still going through old stuff. You know what she brought over? I had totally forgotten about this. I hadn't seen it in 10 years. She brought over my Letterman's jacket.
What are you going to do with that?
I mean, I don't know. I did try it on, and it still fits.
Still fits.
A little snug, but it fits. I could get the buttons done, and all it's, right. You know.
Do anything for Michelle there, or did she just roll her eyes and she completely
get
turn
the
around?
T-top out and then put it on? Hey, you want to go for a ride?
May or may not have come home to me naked just wearing a Letterman's jacket. I don't know.
Disturbing. Just mentally.
Hey, babe, what's up?
Don't want to think about that at
happy
all.
Happy hump day!
I did come in feeling... I did feel a little guilty. I got to be honest with you guys on this Thursday. I'm sorry for the rough start to the show. I was distracted by the news.
Yeah.
And then my brain blanked on how I usually start the show.
What words do I use here?
Yeah. I feel bad. I feel really genuinely bad. Dirt gave us a directive.
Well, it was not. It was more of an offer. I put an offer on the table.
Yeah, you did.
You can accept or deny. I'm okay being the lone wolf here.
Well, but I still feel bad because I was like, oh, I'll do that. I'll participate in that. Sounds fun.
Good idea.
And then my Thursday went differently, and my two kids were up at 4:45, and I just kind of blanked on wearing NFL attire at all.
Well, I just figured we'd do
and
it
now
from,
you look like a weirdo.
I'm the only one wearing a jersey now.
No,
yeah,
I'm wearing
my Herbert jersey. I feel like we do this for opening day in baseball, and I was like, why don't we do this for football? The other part of it for me was the wife got this for me like 2 years ago for Christmas, and it was a very awesome gift. I love
you
Herbert.
You just haven't worn it much.
I just don't ever
there
wear it. Like, when do I ever
give
wear
you
a Herbert?
To wear it.
Just sitting around the house wearing a Herbert jersey.
I'm more
jersey,
likely to do it for the opening day of the hockey season.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
In here in
we can rock hockey
jerseys
that day. I got some hockey jerseys to choose from.
I own no sweaters.
I'll bring a hockey sweater in for you.
I don't know if I
do
want
to. Do you need to pick a hockey team? Do we need to do that?
I did.
Who'd you pick?
The Maple Leafs.
That's right. Oh, he's a Maple Leafs fan.
I'm a Maple Leafs fan.
Get this guy an Austin Matthews jersey.
We're breaking the curse this year.
This is the year,
bitch.
According to Ken Barkley, they're winning the Stanley Cup.
Hey, you know what? He said that. I was like, oh, okay.
Part of our parlay right there.
Are you happy with the white selection, or would you have preferred the baby blue?
Baby blue or the navy blue?
Probably prefer baby blue, but not because of the way it looks on me. More so of just if I am to be wearing this watching football and I spill something, a little less obvious. Now, it still stands out with baby blue, but you know me. I'm a slob. And so there's a high probability there's going to be a coffee stain on this thing by the end of the show.
Well, my hot take, I think, on the Chargers, and it might actually be a really hot take, is that they should go back to their 90s uniforms.
They absolutely should.
I think those are better. I've never liked the when they wear the yellow pants. Everybody likes that, and I've never liked
Fouts,
that.
The Fouts era? 80s,
well, like
Air
Coryell the powder blue, baby blue ones are fine, but like when they do like the white top with
the yellow pants,
I'm just not. I don't think that's a good look at all.
Oh, I like the navy blue with the yellow pants, but yeah, if they wear white, they should wear the all whites.
You want the Junior Seau getting drilled in the Super Bowl Charger jerseys?
Well, LaDainian Tomlinson Junior Seau jersey.
Yeah, the darker blue.
I thought it was a badass look.
Yeah, they almost have, like, for an NFL team, it's almost like it's inventory overload. They got too much to choose from. I feel like most NFL teams are pretty simple, and you go through the Chargers Rolodex of jerseys, there's a dark blue, a light blue, a white. I mean, it can't be worse than
the Jags or the Titans.
No, I'm not saying their jerseys are worse. I think their jerseys are fine.
I'm talking about the
Rolodex
inventory.
To choose from.
Yeah.
Do the Jags have a lot to choose from?
I think the Jags have like five or six different types of uniform.
Do they?
Yeah, they have the current.
White, black, teal. They
had that weird faded one with Blake Bortles for a while.
Well, they don't wear those anymore.
They had the 90s ones.
No, I'm saying that they still currently wear. Like, I think the Chargers have like five different jerseys that they wear right now.
Do they really?
Maybe not five. Maybe I'm over exaggerating.
Yeah, it's the white and the blue, and then they alternate.
Well, they have two shades of blue. I know that.
Yeah.
And they have white, and they have multiple different helmets.
I think teams are only allowed three. So you're allowed a home and away, for lack of a better term, and then a throwback.
Or an alternate.
Alternate.
Yeah. Usually it's a throwback is the alternate.
Yeah. It throws you off because every week you look at them and they're a little bit different. It's like, not anybody else in the NFL is this way. Throwbacks are one thing, but they don't go the throwback route. They're alternate
jerseys.
Well,
their baby blues are their throwbacks.
But it's also their main jersey, though. So it's not really a throwback.
Yeah. They made it their permanent.
It's now their permanent jersey.
Good. Yeah. The weird thing about you wearing that isn't that it's Herbert. I get it. But like, you're also not a Charger fan.
Well, I'm renting as a Charger fan. I'm not buying. I don't own the property here, but I got a deposit down.
Kind of what the Chargers are doing in Los Angeles, but
I got a lease for a few years here.
Really?
I mean, it's not going to be permanent roots. I'm not staying here forever. We will eventually move, but for the time being, I got a lease on the apartment.
You don't seem very interested in the Chargers' futures, which is surprising because they have Harbaugh.
They do have Harbaugh, and they got Herbert.
If you see anything with Harbaugh, you're like all in. And you're like, I don't know about the Chargers.
I mean, I'm excited about the Chargers this year. Very excited.
Are you?
I am a Charger fan. I bet it's only because of Herbert. When Herbert's gone, or if he retires, or something happens, I will no
longer. Are you also still a Niner fan?
Support this ass organization. I will always be a Niner fan. Always.
Are you becoming like I've kind of done this a little bit in sports in my life. I've just kind of like become root for my favorite players and storyline guy.
I mean, I'm definitely that way in the NFL. I'm not a diehard 49er fan by any stretch of the imagination.
I only am if the game has real stakes. Like,
Super Bowl,
I'm a mess.
Yeah, Super Bowl was tough.
But also, the Chiefs win, and I turn to my wife and I go, they have the best quarterback in the world. Like, what am I going to get mad about this?
It doesn't affect my life the way if Oregon loses to Boise State, I will be in shambles. The Niners losing a big game, it's like, it sucks. I root for them to win. But
I might be solo Monday if your team loses this weekend.
It does not. I had to come in and do a show after losing twice to Washington last year. I think I could survive a Boise State loss.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I don't know. I know Washington hurts a different way. I get it, but
Pac-12 championship game, chance to win a national title on the line,
barely beat Idaho.
Runs for 204 tutties on the ducks.
I mean, I'm not saying
Jainty beats you at Autzen. It's gonna be. You guys will be the story of college football if you lose that game.
They will. And then people will quickly forget about them.
Florida State, hold our beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. That's still not even close in comparison to the painful of loss. Not even close. It's the second week of the season.
I actually conducted a bit of a study yesterday.
Yeah, what do you got?
A little study. Not a big study.
Not exactly scientific.
Let me ask you this, because I have a duck thing. We won't get into too much duck beaver stuff today. We like to holster that for Fridays. I do have a duck thing to get to at 6:45.
Okay.
And so I'll kind of just rip a little piece of the duck thing and throw it at you now. What would be worse, you think? You're a diehard fan. What would be worse, having an 0-for season or, quite literally, the most memorable worst loss in a sports history? So had Oregon lost to Idaho, that would be the worst loss in college football history at a major level, and it's not particularly close. But the Huskies have had an 0-12 season. Now, I know you could throw in the Montana joke here, but given the circumstance of Oregon and the hype, had they lost to Idaho, what would be worse to you as a fan, an 0-for season or the worst loss ever that everybody remembers and cites the rest of their sports lives?
I think I would. Oh, God.
I asked a group of Husky fans that I have in my life. And they said, look, 0-12 is an absolute blemish on our lives. We kind of knew that team sucked.
Yeah.
And Ty Willingham.
See, I just,
But the losses, they picked the loss.
The loss.
You do not want the worst loss of all time.
Yeah, I think I would lean the 0-12 season being worse.
Really?
Like, not winning a single game for the entire year.
Yeah?
For the entire season. It's not excusing the loss to an FCS team, which would be all-time embarrassing, and everybody would cite that. But just from a fandom standpoint, like, you could still go. Like, Michigan lost to Appalachian State. That was one of the most memorable games in the history of college football.
Yeah.
that team ended up going like 9-3 and winning the Outback Bowl. They ended up, Oregon drilled them the next week. They ended up having an okay year. I think they beat Ohio State that year. Like, they ended up cobbling things together and having a decent season.
Right.
So everybody will always remember that, but at least as a fan, you had other things during the season that you could enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine turning my team on 12 times in a year and watching all of them be losses.
But is it okay.
Like, not even one. Just give me one win over any random team.
But you're
you
taking the context out of it. You're giving me the Michigan example, which is fair. You have to remember that Husky team was not very good.
The one that went 0-12 or the one that lost to Montana?
No, the 0-12.
Oh, they were terrible. Yes.
The Montana one is also a separate one where it's like, well, we thought we were okay, and then, oh my God, we lost to Montana. We knew it was bad.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think if you're 0-12, that's the realization that you're the worst team in the sport, potentially.
Yes, you are.
Not just having one bad day and then potentially winning other games. So while still embarrassing, the acknowledgement that you literally are the worst team in the sport and maybe in the history of the conference. I wouldn't want that. I would choose, give me the FCS
you
random
take the
loss.
Worst loss. No, it's not random FCS. It's the worst loss in college.
I would rather have
history.
That than being 0-12.
I'm going to put that up as a poll question today. I think it's an interesting one. We got to go. We have a lot to get to today. It is a busy program. Tons of football. The NFL season is back in our lives, if you could tell by Dirt wearing the Justin Herbert Charger jersey. So let's get it going. A lot to discuss. Dirt and Sprague. We start next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
All right, NFL kickoff is here today. Chiefs Ravens, we'll get to that coming up. Pretty excited about that.
Can't wait, man. It's gonna be a fun night.
The numbers are in. How we feel about this, we'll get to that coming up. The margin of victory to satisfy fans. I want to ask that question to one person on this program. We'll get to that today. And I got some NFL odds and ends to discuss. I want to talk a little bit about a couple quarterbacks, team expectations, one team in the Pacific Northwest. It's really the only team in the Pacific Northwest. And so we'll get to that coming up. I do want to start with a couple little college football leftovers.
Yeah, what you got?
Kalen DeBoer, Jonathan Smith. Did we see both in week one action at new teams?
I did not watch a second of the Alabama game. I watched every second of the Michigan State game.
So you saw the struggle bus that was Michigan State and Aiden Childs not being able to throw the ball 15 yards down the field.
It was rough. He threw an interception on literally his first pass of the season. Wasn't that bad of a throw, kind of a weird deflected ball, but it was picked off, and he... It was funny to kind of see the immediate reaction after the game of welcome to new life as a coach at a bigger program. And it was Michigan State fan immediately rushing to social media to bitch about his decision to go for it on fourth down when they were up by six in the fourth quarter against a quarterback who literally couldn't throw the football for FAU. And he had a chance to kick a field goal and go up by nine, make it a two-score game with however many minutes to go. I can't remember exactly how much time was on the clock. They went for it on fourth. They got stopped, and it ended up being a dogfight all the way till the end, where if he kicks a field goal there, the game is likely over. I think it was just a reminder of this. It's going to be a really rough year for them. But if you're the long-term approach, you might be okay. If you're expecting things in year one with Jonathan Smith, God bless you, buddy. They're going to lose a lot of football games this year. It's not a good team. Aiden Childs is going to have to take his lumps. And it's just that's what they signed up for. And so you got to be really patient.
I was a little surprised how bad he was.
See, and I wasn't. I just, like, that's his first career start. I know that he played
last year.
One series a game is a little bit different than having all the expectations of a new fan base on your shoulders and being the guy that defenses are going to game plan against and target.
Yeah, I think it's one thing to be nervous and have expectation that you haven't experienced. I think it's another to not be able to complete passes. He just didn't look good.
He was 10 of 24 for 114 yards and two interceptions.
Like, I watched him play, and his throws were atrocious.
Yeah,
and I went, whoa, that's not what all I thought I'd see from him.
Their offensive line isn't very good. Who's their best wide receiver? How did they run the football? I know they had a dude who broke a 63-yard run, and that helped their overall average yards per carry. But outside of that, they kind of struggled to run the football at times in that game as well. And so he doesn't have a lot of help, and he's going to have to learn on the fly. And it's not an easy thing to do. Not many quarterbacks step in right away, especially if you're playing for a bad team, and immediately have success. We've seen this around the country. Look at Dante Moore last year at UCLA. It was an absolute dumpster fire. That guy was the number one quarterback in the country coming out of high school. Look at Rashad at Arizona State and how bad he was. I wouldn't be shocked at all if we saw that kind of year from Childs.
The thing about DeBoer that I find interesting is watching Florida State. And the reason I say that is, remember, when they hired him, there was a moment where Greg Byrne was basically asked about the process. And I was reading tea leaves, but I think if you go listen to it, it does kind of sound like their number one target was Norvell.
Yeah.
And DeBoer was probably a close second, but Norvell signed an extension with Florida State. And so they pivoted and they went and got DeBoer. And it's not that Norvell won't ever win again or be good. But man, if you're a Bama fan and you had some thought that it was going to be Norvell instead of DeBoer, how are you feeling? Even though it's been one game for DeBoer.
One game against Western Kentucky. We're doing it. Oh, we made the right hire.
Well, but think about how they would feel if like, looking at what Florida State and Norvell are after just one great season. There is a little bit of like, yeah, it is Western Kentucky, but also Florida State went undefeated, and now look at them. They can't beat anybody.
They can't, no. What I would say, though, is at least, like, Kalen DeBoer struggled mightily to recruit high school players when he was at Washington. That was his big weakness there. And I think that was the question that I and other people brought up when he was hired at Alabama. You just went undefeated and you barely had a recruiting class ranked in the top 25. Like, how is this going to work? You got to recruit at a top five level there. And that's exactly what he's done in Tuscaloosa. And I think it's a reminder that's right. The Alabama brand still means something. It's still going to be able to recruit itself no matter how you are in high school recruiting at another location. And so that's the only caveat I would add to that. They definitely feel good. But like, if Mike Norvell was the head coach at Alabama with that level of talent, they win that game 63-0 too. And I think he would be recruiting at a high level as well.
You don't think there's any difference?
I'm not saying there's no difference, but I don't think that Alabama would have struggled in week one had they hired Mike Norvell.
Yeah,
and I think they would have had very high expectations had they hired Mike Norvell.
They're winning. Well, I think that's it's a tiny difference, but like, I just don't think that's Norvell.
To win 63-0 against Western Kentucky?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, he just went undefeated last year. He had a pretty good season.
How many games they narrowly win?
A lot of them. How many games did Kalen DeBoer narrowly win?
A lot of them.
A lot of his schedule.
Yeah.
Almost every single one after like week four.
One made the playoff.
He did. The other one should have made the playoff.
No, you said they shouldn't.
Yeah, I see the overall point, and you're definitely happy if you're a Bama fan. Kalen DeBoer is seemingly a really good hire so far because he's recruiting, and we know about his X's and O's ability.
That's the big thing, I think, for him, all jokes aside from Western Kentucky, is the fact that like they have that Courtney Morgan dude.
Yeah, it's a built-in machine, man. Alabama's going to recruit itself. You could be an idiot and still land five-star kids there because they're coming off of a college football playoff and the greatest dynasty we've ever seen in the history of the sport and probably will ever see. I'm really excited to watch Alabama in the weeks to come. Like, they play South Florida this week, whatever. They're going to win 57-0. Wisconsin should be a bloodbath. Wisconsin struggled in week one.
Terrible.
But whenever you go on the road in a tough environment, like, it's just different.
Van Dyke
looked awful.
He looked terrible, and they were lucky to beat a really bad, I think, who they play? Western Michigan, I believe, in their first game.
Who do they play?
Exactly. And then so you go on the road to Wisconsin next week, and then you get a bye week, and then you play Georgia. And so they're like right out of the frying pan into the whatever the
into
phrase
the
is, into the fire. That's exactly what Alabama is in 2 weeks. And so I didn't see any of their Western Kentucky game, though, because they did exactly what they're supposed to do.
I'm kind of curious how you differentiate coaches. Is it just Kirby Smart and everybody else, or they're like, do you have tiers when you think of coaches?
Yeah, I think there's a one tier and then a jumbled together
there's
two
like
tier.
One guy,
it's Kirby Smart. And
then the next is just a bunch of dudes.
DeBoer, Sark. I mean, go down the list. I think there's a chunk of coaches that fall into that category in tier two. And
it's like Sark is no different than DeBoer to you.
No, not at all.
Kiffin is.
No, I think a lot of it depends on the place you're at, the job you took over, the roster you had intact. Like, all these things are important factors for whether or not you could win. And the Norvell stuff, like, he is a good punching bag right now, but he also brought Florida State out from the end of a really ugly Jimbo Fisher era, which thing was crashing, to Willie Taggart to, what, 3 years in, 4 years in, he makes it undefeated to a college football playoff. Now, the concern is, he's really only won with Jordan Travis, and he's got to go find another quarterback.
See, this is what sucks. I have to interrupt you. Didn't make the playoff.
What, okay.
Should have made the playoff. He was 13.
Sure, in an expanded field, they went 12-0, 13-0 in the regular season. Like, that's incredible. But he's only won with one quarterback. And so that's the thing that he's got to get over, is that he's got to go find that next signal caller that can help his team win.
I think the other part, too, you noted this before the show, what they spent. They're leaking that they spent $12 million on their team.
$12 million this year.
And Josh Pate yesterday said, you know, it's like dinner and dessert. It sounds fun to have as much dessert as dinner, but it's, in theory, not a good idea.
Yeah.
And that's what's interesting with me with all of these coaches, probably Kirby Smart separated, is like how they figure out how to move on and rebuild. Do you have enough high school, star-ranking kids behind you for your depth to just naturally step up? Or how much of the portal you're hitting? And Norvell clearly calculated wrong.
He absolutely did.
And that's the interesting thing, is like those decisions, though, are going to be what knock certain coaches down for people in their minds. Like, if DeBoer's here in 2 years and he just hits the portal hard instead of having high school recruiting, and Bama's like, meh, it's going to be the same thing with him.
Exactly. It's such a tough putt to try and figure out how to put your roster together. And quarterback play is so mightily important. That's the one thing I think you at least give DeBoer credit for. In recruiting, he's been able to find like blue chip recruits so far at that position, but that's what has bit Norvell the most. Like, I think if you had an elite quarterback on that Florida State roster, they still have issues. But I think there's a little bit more belief. You got a guy that can make plays in big moments.
They're like, beating Boston.
They're beating Boston College, probably. That Georgia Tech game they had, it was tied with five minutes ago. It's not like they got blown out. And so if you had a difference maker at that position, maybe you're 2-0 at this point in the season. We're having a different conversation, but DJ is not the kind of quarterback that can plug up holes on your roster. And that, I think, is what they're learning the hard way, is that their defensive line wasn't as good as they thought. Their running game wasn't as good as they thought. And so now we're leaning on a quarterback who is not a true number one alpha. And it's just that's a really bad recipe for them.
The numbers are in. How we feel about these, we'll tell you what they are and discuss it next on The Fan. Is there a number that satisfies you? We'll get to that coming up. The NFL kicks off tonight. We've got Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes to start the NFL season. Pretty jacked up and fired about that. Rod Hill's on my TV screaming, football!
Football's on!
Football!
It's going to be a hot one to grill today, so make sure you're ready to go.
Yeah, I don't know what to do for dinner. I'm kind of stumped
yet.
Swigard's leaning into the Baltimore-Kansas City thing. You've got your... Nachos?
I'm going to do nachos on Sunday. I don't know. I'm either doing wings today or tri-tip. I'm not sure. I haven't decided.
I don't know, man. I made
either
steak
or.
Last night. I don't know what to do.
Just keep me. I may do steak again. Double
steak tacos.
Steak tacos. There you go. Yeah, we're talking. Here we go.
So we'll get to that coming up at the top of the hour. The numbers are in. The CW's got college football in a major way locally here.
The WB.
And after Moesha ended, we've got Washington State, Portland State, and then after that, we got Idaho State, Oregon State. And so this is kind of their pseudo-network.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers are in. This one from at Sports TV Ratings. They got 45,000 followers and confidently responded to people on other games. So I'm going to take them at their word.
I follow this guy. This dude's legit.
It's legit.
He's a legit sports media reporter that reports TV ratings.
Well, I saw some Beaver fan. This other account hasn't tweeted anything. How do you know this is true?
I don't know. You could just, you know, believe it, but whatever. Yeah. Last week's CW sports programming viewership, volleyball, 213,000. Portland State, Washington State, 223,000.
Better than volleyball.
Inside the NFL, Bill Belichick's debut on that show,
yes.
267,000. Idaho State bungles at Oregon State. He forgot the R. 381,000.
You're better than Bill Belichick.
Somebody asked in the comments any report on the Washington Weber State game.
Yeah, there were 300-something, I think.
306, but it is important to note, Washington and Oregon could not watch those games on the Big Ten Network.
Or California, maybe even Idaho. I don't know how far over that thing goes.
So, yes, it was blanked out on one of the major cable providers,
yeah,
and they got 306. So, I don't know. I saw a bunch of different takes yesterday on this. I don't know how to gauge this. I thought that number's fine for Idaho State, but I saw other people saying, oh, not great. I saw other people say, oh, thought it was going to be better than that. And I don't know how to track any of this for
it's
people.
It's a holiday weekend. It's Idaho State. Let's, you know.
Yeah, look, I mean, I understand the argument that anything Oregon State and Washington State can do to show eyeballs is mightily important to their long-term health and getting an invite to a conference. I think we're picking the wrong sample size to point to, though.
Is the TV viewership, this is where I got hung up.
Yeah.
I understand that eyeballs matter,
mm-hmm.
but if Oregon State's 10-2, is that less important than what were their average eyeballs?
I don't know. I would say probably, because I don't think any of this stuff makes sense anyways. It should be about what you accomplish on the field, but that has not really been the case in a lot of conference realignment. UCLA football, as an example, we just went the LA market. They get an invite with USC.
Sure.
When the last time UCLA football was relevant, been a long time. So the game that I would more so circle, like this week they're on CBS Sports Network, then they play the Civil War on Fox, and so I'm sure that rating will be solid, depending on what the two teams do going into it.
But Oregon's going to get the credit for that rating, even though, yeah, I think that's,
yeah, but,
you know.
I mean, maybe for some fans, but for TV executives, they'll look at it and say Oregon State played in a game that got X number of viewers. I mean, that's, you know, when you play USC historically is usually the main reason people watch, but you could say, look, we got a good rating on that game when USC was in town. The one that I'm more so looking at just for a CW breakthrough ratings wise will be the game after the Civil War. It's when you play Purdue. That game is on the CW network. I think it's a primetime 5 o'clock, 5:30 kick, so it's good kick time. Should be a good crowd in Corvallis. Like, that to me will give a better indication of how many eyeballs are you attracting. It is a channel that is available everywhere, so you're just flipping through. You're going to see the CW. Hey, look at that. There's an Oregon State game. I also wonder how much of interest there is for random sports fans out there of having Tom Brenneman back calling games. That's a little unique. Nobody thought he was ever going to work again.
Are you giving Brenneman this bump?
I'm giving him a little bump. I'm giving a little Brenneman bump. I am. Yeah. I know that was part of the reason tuning in.
I knew he was doing this game.
I did. I think most of our audience did.
I think we're in bubble.
Was part of it for tuning in for me. I'm like, Tom Brenneman's calling a game. This is weird. It's going to take a long time to get used to. I'm not going to make fun of them for having 300,000 viewers for an Idaho State game in week one, because that's an FCS opponent. When they play Purdue, if that game on the 21st of September has 212,000 viewers on the CW network,
how would it have less than Idaho State?
I don't know. I'm just saying that to me is when you can make fun of this and joke about it. But if that number goes up, I don't think you got nothing to worry about.
I think I concluded it's a good number, because anything with the NFL in the title and you beating it is just like, hey, how about that? Look at us.
Well, you played Idaho State. Idaho. Why would anybody want to watch that game unless you're a Beaver fan?
I was surprised the number was as high as it was, to be honest with you.
I mean, if we didn't cover Oregon State, I would not. How many FCS games did you go close to on like the SEC network watching them live?
Well, here's the other part of this too. Well, not very many to answer your question.
Exactly.
So 306 with Washington not having Comcast available on the Big Ten network.
They were also an 11 Eastern kick.
So I don't mean any disrespect by asking or saying this. Like, even if it had freed up to Comcast, how many more is that number?
75K maybe.
Okay, so it's right at the same number as Oregon State,
mm-hmm.
and they went to the Big Ten network to play Weber State. So I don't know. I think some of this stuff is a little ridiculous because of what you said. I don't think the people making the decisions really fully grasp how they're making these decisions.
No.
This is not, well, Stanford averaged this many viewers per game for a decade.
No, that was a Bay Area
academic
thing.
That was not what they did. It was entirely just San Francisco TV market. We want in.
Yeah.
So here you go. Here's your lifeline to the ACC. The Big Ten was the same thing. UCLA didn't do anything in football for a decade, but LA market, here you go. So I just, this whole like holding Oregon State, Washington State, some standard, like if they don't have a certain amount of viewers, they're going to lose out. They may have already lost out, because guess what? It's already happened once and they lost out.
Yes.
So I don't think like, oh, they're damned because they only had 380,000 viewers. They're not getting in the Big 12 now. I don't think that's how this works. I don't think that's how any of this is going to work. And if they get into one of these major conferences, it's going to be based on West Coast time zones, TV windows, not so much what the market or what the average was. It's going to be about what makes sense for expansion purposes to maybe make our conferences that are out west make more sense for the windows and for the matchups.
I think the most important things for them are winning as many games as humanly possible to stay as relevant as you can. And when you play a game that is a recognizable opponent and it's in a good TV window, trying to grab as many eyeballs as you can.
And hopefully win.
That is not the case with Idaho. You played Idaho State, man. Yeah. You played Idaho State. I don't imagine the rating will be great this week. It's a 7:30 kick, CBS Sports Network, but maybe I'm wrong on that. You did blow out, so I think it was True TV or TNT had their first game this weekend, and it was like San Jose State versus somebody random, and that number was horrific.
Was it really? Sacramento State.
Sacramento State.
That was a night game, though, wasn't it?
I think it was a night game. They had like 60K, I want to say, that watched that game, so I was like,
yeah, because, I mean, I that's good. I thought that number was higher than I thought, because it was Idaho State, and I'm like, no offense, but if you don't have no ties to the school, why would you watch this game?
Yeah, the games you're going to circle for Oregon State this year, as I mentioned, Purdue on the 21st. The Oregon game should have a good number. It's on Fox. And then I think you fast forward to the end of the year, your last two games. Washington State, depending on how the two teams are. And then the final game of the season is at Boise on Fox. So you got another nationally televised. All of them are nationally televised because the CW network is. But you get my point on a more connected football channel. And so those are the games that you'll be judged on. But who the hell knows what conferences and commissioners are looking for, because none of it makes sense.
Felt very Pac-12-ish watching the channel.
It did.
Pac-12 network-ish.
It did. I mean, I think a lot of the crew was probably people from the Pac-12 network.
Well, I don't mean like the people like aren't. I don't mean in a disrespectful way at the people. It's not I'm just like the visual and the feel of it. So it's for the cameras.
I think they're using the Pac-12 studio.
Well, the studio stuff.
Yeah, Yammer's back. Our boy Yammer's back doing halftime on the CW.
I'm talking about the game quality, the way it looked.
I think it's the Pac-12 network.
Just like the shells of it and using it. Okay.
To produce the show or televise it.
Yeah, there you go.
The game. It's okay. Go listen to the Open. I screwed that up.
Definitely a game, though, by the way. Historically, that would have been a Pac-12 network game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's a 3:30 kick against Idaho State. That's a Pac-12 network game.
Coming up, we got the NFL kicking off tonight. But up next, is there a number that satisfies you? Next on The Fan. Well, we know it's NFL kickoff day, so we will get to the NFL at the top of the hour. We'll dive a little more heavy into the college football local games this weekend, tomorrow.
Yeah.
We do have a Washington State thing to get to at some point today. Mike Leach is being inducted into their Hall of Fame.
Rightfully so, RIP.
And Jake Dickert, their current coach, and many others have sounded off saying he needs a statue at Washington State. And so I'm going to ask you a simple question. When you think of Mike Leach, do you think of Washington State or Texas Tech? He was at Tech a little longer, but it ended with a kid in a closet. And some of his more memorable moments with press conference mascot talk, a fake mustache with Minshew, game day and Pullman.
Yeah.
I think of Leach with Washington State, and that's probably being a little Pac-12 bias for sure.
Yeah, we were a little closer to it.
But in our bubble.
At Texas Tech, it's easy to get lost in the wash between A&M and Texas.
He had some seasons, but he also had some seasons in Pullman. So yeah. I think that's an interesting thing to think about. And is he the greatest Washington State coach ever? Because we looked it up. There's not a lot of amazing records from coaches.
No.
Yeah, but Price took him to Rose Bowl.
They didn't win.
Well, I know.
Win.
Okay.
Did Leach win?
There was still the second
Alamo
on the
Bowl.
Clock.
Oh,
damn
okay.
It.
They went to the Alamo.
Oh, okay, got it.
Okay.
Just checking on that.
Everybody,
I want to make sure I didn't miss Mike Leach's Rose Bowl wins. I wanted to make sure I didn't
forget
those.
It's a monument for Mike Leach. It's in San Antonio. It's the Alamo.
Remember the Alamo.
There's no forgotten roses anywhere you could find.
Well, the statue for Leach needs to be him walking on the sidewalk somewhere, because he used to walk from his house to work.
Oh, that's the statue?
No, I think you got to go out front of the stadium. I think you got to go stadium statue.
I'll give you
if
a
you
take.
Go stadium statue.
Nondescript Gardner Minshew putting mustache on Mike Leach.
I'm okay with that statue.
That would be fantastic.
That would be great.
Or you could do a giant statue.
As long as Minshew's in jorts.
Yeah. Him in jorts, yeah. Do a giant statue of a Pac-12 mascot fight.
There and you go.
Credited to Mike Leach.
And he's like the ref.
There's a Sun Devil stabbing a duck. There's a cougar attacking a husky.
There's
like
a beaver off the top rope.
Yeah, off the top rope, dropping the tail down on somebody. That would be a cool Mike Leach statue.
We'll get to some Mike Leach talk more later on. I heard this from our buddy Bill Orem, and it got my brain working a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What is the margin of victory has to be this weekend for Oregon to beat Boise State that makes Duck fans go, okay, a little shaky week one start, we're back, baby! What is that margin of victory? He threw out a score, and I said, I don't think people, I think people would be happy with a win no matter what because you've never beaten Boise State. But, like, he threw out a 35-21 on his podcast, and I went, I could see some people having problems with that score.
Well, here's the hard thing with scores, I would say, is that the score sometimes doesn't always indicate the course of the game, right? So if it's, let's say 35-21 is the final, is it a three-touchdown game throughout, and then Boise State tacks one on with 2 minutes to go when your backups are in, and then it's 35-21, right? There's a different feeling there.
Good teams win, great teams win.
They definitely cover. and that would be my initial answer if you ask me for a target score. I think covering the spread is a target score. Boise State is a good team. They also gave up nearly 50 points to Georgia Southern, and there is a massive there should be a massive talent gap here. And so if you truly are the team that many people thought you were coming into the year, one hiccup is fine. It's excusable. Teams are going to have bad, clunky games. Alabama damn near lost to South Florida in week three last year, and they ended up beating Georgia and going
especially
to the playoff.
Especially it being game one.
Game one, like, it's okay. Like, I'm, you know, as panicked as I am, nobody's throwing the entire season out for one bad game. This is, though, when you see the growth. This is when you see a lot of this stuff corrected. That's an old cliche in college football that from week one to week two, you see the biggest growth in your team. You fix a lot of the stupid mental mistakes, a lot of the procedural penalties. That stuff should all be cleaned up, and you should be able to run the football. If Boise State's going to give up 50, basically, to Georgia Southern, your offense should be able to hum against them the entire game. And if that's the case, I love the matchup for Oregon because I think the under-talked-about thing for the last week or 4 days on Oregon is how good their defense is and how good their defense looked. And I truly think Oregon has an elite defense this year. So I don't see Genty running for 300 yards. Some people are predicting this to be a shootout and take the over. I don't see that at all. And so if that's the case, you win by 21, I'm perfectly happy with that.
I mean, I look at Boise, and you said something interesting there that may prove to be right. But I look at Boise and I kind of think, you know, this sounds ridiculous given they just struggled against Idaho. It feels like the right opponent at the right time. They're very reliant on the run game.
Yeah.
They cannot pass the way that they've passed in Boise State history. And so it's like, hey, stop this guy, win football game.
Yeah, line up and try and run it on this front
number
seven.
Two.
That's as simple as it is. Ashton Jainty had 6 touchdowns last week, and he was an absolute animal against Georgia Southern. But you said something though that's interesting to me, too. Margin of victory. I hear what you're saying. Of like, were you up 21 most of the way? They scored a garbage ass touchdown. Sure, that's definitely within the cards. I think there's an opportunity if they are the team that many thought they are to say pitiful performance. We saw Dan Lanning basically saying, "I'm disappointed in you guys."
Yeah,
that was the message in the locker room. And so it's like if they're as talented as many thought they are coming into the year. If their opponent this week really just is relying on one thing to succeed, take the one thing away, you should be able to
dominate
no offensive problems whatsoever.
Yeah, go dominate.
But you said something, Boise's good. I don't know. That was one of the underlying shocking things to me because they're not a top-ranked team. They don't get conversation the way some of these other teams do.
Mm-hmm.
They damn near lost to Georgia Southern, and I thought they were going to blow them out. And they struggled. And so I don't know how good Boise really is because they came in, albeit the Mountain West, with similar type hype of like, they're the favorites to make the playoffs.
To be a group of five choice. Yeah. And I will say the same thing about Boise that I said about Oregon. It's one game is so hard to react to.
I agree
how
with you.
How much of it for them is like, we're playing Georgia Southern.
Sure.
Next week, we're going on the road to Autzen.
They gave up 45 points in an S-ton of yards.
I'm not defending that at all.
That was horrific.
One game is so hard to read into, and maybe they come out and play elite defense this week. I think if you're Oregon, you're licking your chops, though, and saying, we can get after these guys a little bit. Although, would have said the same thing about Idaho. To me, just like with Oregon, one bad game is excusable. It's understandable to have a clunker in an opener or to not play up to your standard or to look ahead or to hide things in your playbook. All those excuses are available.
Sure.
Week two, the excuses are gone. You're not hiding anything. You're not holding anything back. You should clean up your mistakes. Like, all of that stuff should be cleaned up for either side of this argument. The Boise State argument is just basically preseason. Many people looked at them as the group of five representative to make the playoff, and that's why people think they're good this year. And JT's a stud.
So cover the spread?
Cover the spread.
Is that where we're at on all this stuff, really? Because every fan wants their team to win 63-17 or whatever.
Yeah, 50-point win would be nice, but 42-21 is the final. I'm perfectly
42-21, you're okay.
Perfectly fine with that.
Okay.
35-17, 49-24, whatever math equation.
I'm trying
equation.
To think of, like, if it's within 20, is that good enough? And that very well could be what it is, but it just got me thinking a little bit. Is there a margin of victory for Duck fan to make them forget about Idaho? Like, say, it happened.
Yeah.
But this is what we did this week, and this is more like what we thought we'd look like.
To me, it's more about a leaving no doubt throughout the course of the game, more so than the final score.
Gotcha.
Like, coming out, and see, it's 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. You're running the ball. You're shutting them down. It's like, okay, you might end up winning by 30. You might end up winning by 17 based on how the second half goes, but this, like, setting the tone early, running the football and having an efficient offense, to me, tells me more necessarily than the final score.
If that were to happen, though, and then Boise only loses by 17, Lanning's pissed. It's kind of falling right into a sweet
spot.
More
red meat, man.
Exactly.
More red meat. Keep throwing that red meat out there.
NFL kicks off tonight with Mahomes and Lamar. Let's kick off the second hour talking the NFL back in our lives. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague on the Odyssey app and the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.